Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean. And we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean. And last week, we talked about AI identifying bumps on your bits. And it seems like AI is ruffling feathers in Australian healthcare with the development of patients being able to access prescriptions without even speaking to a doctor.
Swinburne social psychologist Dr. Julian Oldmeadow has lots to say when it comes to taking the face-to-face care from healthcare and handing it straight to AI. Dr. Oldmeadow joins us now. Welcome to Joy Brekkie.
Hi.
Now, telehealth has changed the way that we access our healthcare, increasing in popularity, obviously, during COVID. But what started with telephones and FaceTimes has somehow now turned into bots. How has AI come into the picture?
AI is coming into all of our lives in a whole range of domains. You know, we've got a lot of AI behind the things we do every day on our phones. In the healthcare space, there's lots of different applications for artificial intelligence, from streamlining administrative tasks through to, assisting health professionals with making clinical decisions and potentially streamlining things like the prescription process.
When you say streamlining the prescription process, how does that work? What do you mean?
Well, you might have an AI that can do a lot of the work of asking people, collecting the data that a health professional would use to make a decision about whether or not this person would be helped by the drug in question. So it might be doing a lot of that work and maybe actually generating, you know, a recommendation. Now, of course, what we hope happens and what the standard practice is that that doesn't happen without any actual human oversight and interaction between an actual person, a doctor, let's say, and the patient.
One of the things I guess I worry about, I'm playing devil's advocate here in my mind, I don't think people are really honest with their doctors when they go to see them. They can either give them way too much information that puts them in the wrong direction or not enough, or whether it's like, oh, I don't really smoke or whatever. I only had one drink last night instead of two bottles, which can then lead to misleading information that they're getting about possible treatment. Is that one of the concerns with AI being a part of this prescription system?
I think one of the points that that raises is that, you know, doctors have a challenging time, at the best of times in assessing whether somebody, you know, should get a prescription or not. So, you know, it's by no means a sort of foolproof mechanism anyway when the GPs are in the loop. And I suppose the potential for that is far worse when there's no GP overseeing the process and interacting with the patient and it's just entirely done by AI.
Now, you are a doctor, however, you're a psychologist, a social psychologist. How is AI affecting your line of healthcare?
Oh, well, I'm not in healthcare myself. I'm a receiver of healthcare, I suppose, but I'm not that kind of doctor that delivers healthcare.
Even as a psychologist, look, do you not class yourself as that kind of doctor?
Oh, well, I'm also not that kind of psychologist as well.
So
it's a misleading term in some ways, but you know, yes, of course, there's that sort of clinical side of psychology that's patient focused, but that's not my sort of area of psychology, if you like.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, AI is, I think, one of the things that's interesting about this issue, and as it's coming into the public space and being reported in media, is that there is very much a concern with this idea that people might be able to get scripts without having a doctor intervention. I think it's, you know, my interest is in understanding the basis of that concern. Why are we, you know, anxious about AI and its potential?
Well, why do you think we're anxious about it? Have you got any ideas as to where this is coming from?
Well, look, I think basically it boils down to trust, that we, at this stage, don't yet trust AI. It's relatively new, And there's a range of issues that have been talked about in relation to AI, such as around their accuracy, so concerns that the data that they use might be biased and might lead to inequalities in healthcare outcomes for different segments of society. There's issues to do with the security of the data. There's issues around the transparency of these AIs. And so there's a range of issues that mean that we don't necessarily trust these AIs yet. And I think the importance of having the human in the loop, as we say, having the doctor being involved there, is that it gives us that reassurance that there's somebody involved who actually cares about us and can, you know, as well as caring about us, they are capable and they understand the medicine. So having a human in the loop seems to be, at the moment, very important while we lack the trust in these AI applications.
Mm.
But the reality is the healthcare system has changed. AI is coming into it now in lots of different ways. As Rach said at the start of the interview, you know, there is AI is being used now to see bits and bumps on your private bits in different ways and things. And we've talked about stuff like that before on the show. But accessing health is such an important thing we need to be able to do. And not everyone can just nip down to the GP, whether you're in a regional space or whatever. So using these tools that exist around us in a way to help and amplify things has certainly got to be a step in the right direction, yeah?
Yeah, I think AI is going to be a game changer in healthcare delivery. It promises to bring all sorts of benefits to efficiencies, to access, even perhaps to, you know, decision making and patient care. So certainly there's a great potential for AI, and you know, I think that it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere, and it's going to become increasingly embedded in all of our lives, including in healthcare. So it's not a matter of are we going to go down the path of AI or not. It's more about how do we do it in a way that you know, deals with these issues that concern people.
Okay, so I just had a thought through all of this. If we just referred to it as the advancement in technology, right? Because essentially that's what it is. AI comes across as, like, we've seen all the movies.
The
There's
Terminator.
This,
yeah.
this creature yeah. that was made out of a computer who now takes over the world, and they're going to take all of our information and use it to kill us so they can take over the world, right? If we just called it an advancement in technology, do you think that would change people's perspectives on AI being the future of healthcare?
It is a qualitative change in things, but we've been here before. You know, technology is constantly changing and we come in contact with new things. So, you know, to that extent, it's not a big difference. And there might be something to what you're saying in that there might be all sorts of scary ideas around artificial intelligence linked to things like Terminator and what have you. So, you know, you might be right that we could use a better language, but I think also that the concerns that are directed towards AI are legitimate ones that also need to be dealt with in a real sense.
So how do you think we can do that?
Well, I think there are a couple of things that more work needs to be done on. One is around the capabilities of these AI technologies. So certainly addressing issues of bias in the data, addressing issues of the security of the data that they're based on, increasing the transparency of these things so that their users, whether they be doctors or patients as well, have the capability to assess whether they're appropriate for a given context. And I think at least until we reach a point where the capabilities and accuracies of these AIs are sort of beyond question, we definitely need to maintain that human in the loop. We need to, I guess, from the perspective of making people feel comfortable with these technologies, is having that doctor in the loop. Not only because they are the holders of the capabilities, really, and they can assess whether the AI is appropriate or not, but also because they can demonstrate that care. They actually care about us, and they have our best interests at heart. So, I think those are all important elements, and I think, you know, regulation is going to be really key to all of those things.
Mm.
I love the idea of utilizing AI to find the right doctor for you. Mm. So, you know, here are all my symptoms. Okay, well, there's a doctor that's actually based, you know, 20 hours away from where you are, but hey, they're the one that's going to be able to assess your condition. I think there are ways that AI could really benefit very diverse communities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dr. Julian Oldmeadow Swinburne, social psychologist, thank you so much for joining us this morning on the show and just breaking some of this down. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.